This Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
I am doing well, thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much to hear that. Now, today, we want to talk about how God relates to our transgressors. You know, does he hold a grudge against them like we do? Or does he forgive them and hold it against me if I'm still hurt? Does my aggressor somehow become the victim? And so these are the questions that we are going to be have answered as we conclude this later on this afternoon. Now, Pastor, does God care about the wrongs done to me? He seems more concerned about forgiving evil than the evil that was done to me.
It's a very funny question. Forgive me for laughing. He does care. There are several texts in scripture that tell us just how much God cares. Let's just go through a few of them. Let's begin with Luke chapter 17. I want to read from verse 1 to verse 4 in Luke 17. This is what the Bible says. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but all to him through whom they come, they do come. It would have been better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed, therefore. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times he returns to repent, and say, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples in the book, that God. And he cares so much so that he cautions anyone who would offend the least in God's kingdom, the least of his children. Because he says it would have been better for that person to be thrown into the sea, hung to a stone so that he doesn't come back to the surface, than to offend any one of his children. Now, in the book of Luke, in chapter 18, Jesus says this again. Luke 18, let me read from verse 6, 10, and 14. Verse 6, the Bible says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would have been better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned into the depth of the sea. Verse 10 says, take heed that you do not despise any one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Verse 14, the Bible says, even so, it is not the will of Father who is in heaven that any of these little ones should perish. So, yet again, we see God's interest in answers his children go through. So he does care. And then Romans chapter 12.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 12, verse 19. This is what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Romans 12, 19. The Bible says, "Beloved, not avenge yourselves, but give place to wrath. It is vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord." Mm-hmm. And so, God is extremely interested in what we go through in this life. Mm-hmm. He cares when we are hurt, but don't take it upon yourself to execute vengeance. It's not you who should do it.
Yeah, yeah.
He says the same thing to the kingdom of Judah in 2 Chronicles 20:15. He tells the same thing. The battle is the Lord, not us. So don't be dismayed at the multitudes of people who have come against you. God will fight for you. So when you look at these and many other texts in Scripture, like Revelation 6, which is extremely dramatic for me, Revelation 9-11, John puts it in such a way that the dead are crying out before the throne of God, asking God for vengeance for the wrongs that they went through. And God says, just wait a minute. Just give me a little more time. Let me allow that the number of all those that should die in the similar manner as you do is complete, and then I'll execute vengeance. Mm. That's how John puts it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Isaiah chapter 63, verse 4, says the same thing. Like, God is extremely, extremely interested in executing himself because he is the one who should fight our battles. And so he does care.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. I'm glad to hear that that indeed he does also care for what wrong has been done to me as well. Now, does God forgive my enemies, you know, even if I actually have not gotten to that stage of forgiving them?
Yes, he does, unfortunately.
Even before I say, okay, now I forgive you. Because remember, I need to go through the stage of healing and getting better. Mm-hmm. And it could take me a year, two, mm-hmm. three. And then after that, mm-hmm. I can now say, okay, I've genuinely forgiven. Now you're saying he can do that? He can forgive even if I haven't?
Yes, he can. Listen to what the Bible says.
Mm.
Now, let me read two texts. Let me begin with Romans. Then we'll go to 1 John, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. This is what the Bible says. Romans 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, mm-hmm. you will be saved. There is nothing concerning everybody you have wronged.
Yeah.
It's just about you confessing Jesus Christ, that he is Lord, and that comes with you confessing all your sins to him because he is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead for the remission of your sins, mm. then you become saved. That's what the Bible says. Now, John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, that he is faithful and just. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Mm. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the Bible says. Nothing to do with, first of all, you ought to be forgiven by those you have wronged. Nothing about it. But when we confess our sins, so the Bible puts it in such a way that you confess your sins to God. And if you have the opportunity, then mend your relations with those that you have wronged. Now God is so patient and so just and faithful in forgiving us of our sins, that even when we don't have the opportunity to go back to the people we have wronged to confess and repent of that sin, for as long as we repent of it in God's sight, he forgives us.
Mm.
And even when those whom we have wronged are not willing and ready to forgive us, even when we have so forgiveness, God still is able to forgive. That's how just and faithful he is.
Mm.
God don't, but God will go and forgive the person who wronged us.
Ah, Lovely. Lovely. You know, as you're talking, I remember Jonah, who was sent to go and preach, and he says, "No, man, you're going to forgive these people, really. I'm wasting my time here trying to go and threaten these people and stuff like that. You don't deal with these guys." God says, "Listen, let's go and preach to these people, man. And if tell them if they don't repent, I'm going to be on their case." And Jonah says, you're not going to do that thing.
Yeah.
And indeed, Jonah was proven right because the guys repented and God forgave them. I just thought of that story as you were, relating that. Now, what are the steps to forgiveness, Pastor?
So, I have found that several that we can just narrow them down to these four. There are things that we could do as human beings to forgive others, but I think this fault is responsibility. So we are wronged, but when we take responsibility, we take account of what has been done to us, and then we acknowledge it. First thing, that's the first thing we do. The second thing is remorse. When we have taken responsibility, we've taken account of what has been done, we have acknowledged it, then we use remorse or guilt in the wrongdoer to measure their willingness to repent. And so if they are remorseful, then it is incumbent upon us to move on to the third step, which is restoration. Now, restoration simply that we mend relations with those that have repented of their sins, who hurt us, but they are now repented. And when we have restored relations, then we go to the next step, which is renewal. Now, renewal simply entails that we learn from the experience and grow as human beings, as a person.
Yeah.
And so when we take responsibility, we measure the repentance by their remorse, and then we restore our relations. Then we grow as an individual, as a person, by renewal of our relations. And so I would say it would suffice as steps for forgiveness.
And so effectively, if the person is not remorseful, I am then justified not to forgive.
So if the person is not remorseful, then that hinders you from restoring relations, mending relations. So if they are not remorseful, you are at liberty to forgive and go your way, because they hinder you by their unrepentedness. They hinder you from mending relations with them.
Yeah.
But because you want to forgive for yourself first, you cannot cover hatred and resentment until be fine. So you need to mend to heal your heart from hatred and resentment and those negative feelings. So you can still forgive, but they hinder you from restoring relations. So then you do your part and let them be.
Yeah. Now, how do I know, that I've forgiven someone? I mean, if I'm still hurt by their action, does that mean I haven't truly forgiven them?
Yes, it means you haven't truly forgiven them. This is what Scripture says. Let me just read this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. This is what the Bible says. It says, "All bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." And so Paul is particularly concerned about bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking among us. And so he says, if these still remain, there cannot be forgiveness. And so until bitterness is done away with, until evil speaking among us is done away with because of the wrong that has been done to us, until all that is resolved, then we have not forgiven. But when we have forgiven, bitterness has to. And so you know you still harbor a wrong that has been done to you. You still harbor some feelings about it when you have not necessarily bitterness, not necessarily evil speaking, not necessarily wrath, but you still have a negative feeling towards this person and the action that they have done against you, then you know you haven't forgiven completely. You have not let go of that which they have done because your heart has not healed from the bitterness and hurt that they have caused. But when your heart has healed, then you know you have forgiven. So it is to know whether you have forgiven one or not. It is how you feel about it. When all negative emotions about it are gone, they're done away with, then you know I have forgiven. The example you gave about Jonah. When God had forgiven the people of Nineveh, Jonah was hurt by God's forgiveness. He was upset that God forgave these people. And so he had not forgiven them. Now, these are the people he went to preach to, but he had not forgiven them. Now, the Ninevites were very cruel people. And Jonah, how cruel they were. And so he harbored a resentment because of their cruelty. And so because of that, even when God forgave, he still harbored negative feelings about it. And so until those negative feelings are done away with, then you know you have not forgiven. Jonah's case is a good example for us to learn from.
Yeah, indeed. But now, Pastor, I want to let you go, but before I do that, so if one is still hurting and really they are hurt and you know they see themselves with tears running down their cheeks because of some something that somebody has done, it's safe to say then that. And am I correct to say that don't force yourself to say, I have forgiven, because you are still hurting. So wait until you cannot cry about it anymore. Wait until you don't have, you know, painful feelings about it. Then you can start start forgiving. Or should one just say, you know what, let me start the process of forgiving while I heal? How does it work?
Ah, great. Nice question. And so... Let me say it this way. Prayer of forgiveness is an extremely impossible thing to do for a man without the help of the Holy Spirit of God.
I see.
And so if we are going to heal from a hurt that has been done to us and it's extremely bad, we cannot force it ourselves that it must come because we are Christians. We must place it in the hands of God. We must put our hearts in the hands of God so that God may heal them himself. And because God is faithful, he will heal both the heart and that was done to you to a point where you have so much peace in the heart, this peace that surpasses understanding. This is a peace that Jesus is talking about. That when you see the person who hurt you, you have love, nothing but love for them because God healed your heart and he put his peace in your heart. And so we cannot force but we can place it in the hands of Jesus Christ so he heals our hearts. And when our hearts heal, forgiveness will then come naturally.
And
so you said in your question, it's not good to force it, but it's good to place it in the hands of God so that God deals with us and with those that have hurt us.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, yeah, it's a difficult subject, I must tell you that. But yeah, I like the fact that you said that it is only possible through the help of the Holy Spirit. And I think that we truly, truly need to just say, you know, always ask the presence of the Holy Spirit as we, you know, go through such things. Thank you so much, Pastor, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I have enjoyed being here. I look forward to tomorrow. Be blessed. Have a wonderful day.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Be blessed.
Adventist World Radio.